You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host. I'm Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your Wednesday to join me. We're in the middle of a sermon here I've entitled, So You're an Agnostic. Very popular thing today. People call themselves agnostic. And if you knew what the word meant, the word really means stupid. Gnosis means knowledge. Put an A in front of it, it means without it. Without knowledge, hey, sorry. You know, in other words, you better be careful what you call yourself. It's not all that stylish anymore to call yourself stupid. I mean, that's like wearing a shirt that says, I'm with stupid, with the finger pointing up at your face. You wouldn't do it. My point is, you wouldn't do that if you knew what it meant. And the word, that's what the word agnostic means. Don't call yourself an agnostic. Now, here we're looking today at how to talk to someone that calls himself an agnostic. How did Jesus do it? And he used Bible prophecy. Now, people today, again, I hate, you know, when people tune into this, they might be offended at the examples that I've chosen. But they're just examples just out of thin air. You might hear me pick on Barack Obama today. If you went to my church, equally, you would hear me pick on Donald Trump, equally. Now, here today, we're just happen to eavesdrop in on me picking Barack Obama. Anyone, the odds of one person fulfilling three or four things written about him, it's astronomical. That's my point in this. You can pick whoever that you want. There's only one person that's fulfilled all these things written about him before they happen, and that's Jesus. That's my main point of this message. And this is part three now of this message, so you're an agnostic.
Jesus, unscathed. Barack Obama, let's just say, depending on his audience, maybe he'll say he was born there. Says he's American, he might as well be born in Bethlehem. So let's say, for argument's sake, Barack Obama survives prophecy number one, and he's born in Bethlehem. Let's, for argument's sake, we'll let him stay there. We'll even throw him there. Okay, David, Barack Obama, Jesus, John the Baptist, we got 4 out of 5 that made prophecy number one. Okay, let's narrow it down a little. You, Bethlehem, and also Herod was told this prophecy, remember? When the Magi showed up there and said, where is he? We have come to worship. Where did they say? Where does he come from? And they quoted this to him. So Herod went and killed everyone under 2 years old in Bethlehem because of this prophecy. They knew the Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem. So Herod killed everyone 2 years and younger. And you, Bethlehem, though you're few in number, out of you will come one to me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from eternity. All right, from eternity? Sorry, Dave. You didn't make cut two. Jesus? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with, in the beginning, anarche, anhologos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him and for him. He survives cut two. Barack Obama, sorry, buddy. You ain't from the beginning. You're off my list. John the Baptist, sorry. You see what I mean about odds? We only got one person left. We've only got to two. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice, O greatly, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. How many people? This is how you'll know the Messiah, when he comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. There's three, and you've just hit the lottery every week for 70-some-odd years. Matthew 21:1 is where that's fulfilled. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples and said, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied up and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, the Lord's got need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled so that was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Mr. Agnostic, the man Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, has fulfilled all of these things in advance. Now, the odds of fulfilling eight things written about you before you were born, get this number, is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Eight things. I found this quote recently from a mathematician. He said, quote, the scientific probability that any one person could fulfill eight specific prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's 10 or 1 with 17 zeros after it. Now, here's a modern example that I've read in McDowell's book, More Than a Carpenter, Josh McDowell. He says, take the entire state of Texas, bury it 2 feet deep in silver dollars, take a red pen and draw an X on one silver dollar. Throw that silver dollar anywhere in the state of Texas. Then take a blind man and give him one chance. One chance to find that silver dollar. The odds of you finding that one silver dollar in one chance is the odds of one person fulfilling eight things written about him before they happen. Now here's your eight. Plus one or two thrown in for good measure. So I got a Bible here that's got 100 of them. Listen to some of these. Number one, born in Bethlehem. Number two, born of a virgin. That's a fairly big one. What do you think? Unless if you got a Revised Standard Version that changes virgin to young woman. There's probably a trillion young women that have given birth. Your Bible says young woman, throw it out. Get a new Bible. At least rip that page out. If you can stomach the rotten eggs, that's on you. No, he's born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. A virgin will be with child. And he will call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Matthew used the word parthenos in Greek. It means virgin, not a young girl. He's born in Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. He's going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's going to have his hands and his feet pierced. He's going to be crucified, David wrote, 900 years before it happened. That's four. They're going to gamble for his clothing when he dies. That's five. His face was going to be marred by torture so that you won't recognize him. Isaiah 52. That's six. They made his grave with the wicked, put the rich at his death. That's seven. A rich man named Joseph of Arimathea talked Pilate into letting him have his body. So they took him down and put him in a rich man's tomb that no one ever laid in before, reserved only for the super rich. Isaiah wrote about it 700 years before it happened. Don't tell me you're an agnostic, man. I don't believe it. That's seven. He's going to live in Egypt for a time. There's eight, right? Hosea 12:1. Out of Egypt I've called my son. His body didn't decay after death. That's nine. Exponentially, remember, I don't even know how many zeros the odds you've got now. Think about this. His body didn't decay after death. Think about it. The Bible declares 900 years before that when the Savior comes, he would both have to die because he's going to have a body, and two, his body wouldn't decay after he died. David wrote that 990 years before Jesus Christ was born. Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. Psalm 16, verse 9, this is how you know the Messiah. He's going to die, and his body is not going to rot in hell like everyone else. Even Peter said, David's body's right over there. You can go look at it. He's a skeleton now. Not Jesus. His body's not going to decay. That's number nine. You know, the yellow peeps and chocolate bunnies is the devil's replacement for what we celebrate. That is that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Does that excite you? Death's got no hold over him. And while he was at it, he broke the power of death for you. So that when you die and leave this world, if you've called on the name of the Lord to be saved, absent from the body, he's present with the Lord. He's broke the power of death. When you die, you go up. You don't go down anymore. You go up. Eyes not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love him. Number 10, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. What does that mean? That means all of our sins were put on him. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The substitutionary death of the Son of God died in your place. God put all of your sins and mine on him. Which is why he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me? My God, my God." There's another one. I don't even have that written down. That'd be number 13. Psalm 22:1, right? My God, why have you... David wrote that 1,000 years before Jesus was born.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM